Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve some level of freedom in your life or business.
So if people say, like myself, I can coach myself, but I got a lot of blind spots that come up just naturally. And so I use my coaches to help condense that time frame. Like, okay, I don't have time to wait on the awareness. Tell me what I don't see as you listen to me. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. But because I may not need coaching now, they may coach me for the future. Like, okay, make sure that when you go into this next phase that you're whatever you say you want to be. So sometimes coaching isn't for now. For people who claim they don't need coaches.
I think I need a coach. Everybody else is convinced I don't.
I think we all need coaches, including you and me.
Yeah.
I think the average person would be a little intimidated to coach you.
Well, you're not average.
No, I mean, not me. But I mean, the average person would be like, which is strange because you're more one of the more direct, introspective coaches that I've had. I mean, like, you could ask you, like, okay, so how you want me to coach you? You want tough love? You want direct? You want this? When I get to clients that are really like, all right, don't tell me shit, I just ask them, how you want me to be? How you need me to be? In your ass, or you need to sound it off for me, or what's your style? If I'm in doubt, I'll just ask them. They'll tell you.
Well, and the funny thing is, in most of the coaching programs, they tell you that you're supposed to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. So most people don't, though. People don't do it. They're afraid to. They want to come off. You know, I have this thing about coaching. I have coaches, but you got to kind of be where I want to go to coach me.
Yes.
I mean, you can't really. I mean, I hear a lot of coaches saying, oh, I was in corporate America 15 years, then I decided this. If you ain't got no death, divorce, debt, depression, business, entrepreneurial, like, I mean, dude, you got to come with it with me. I read books for fun. You got to come with it with me.
Yeah. I'm getting more into my books. I just got my Audible. So I'm playing around with the edit. So we're going to edit some stuff and we're going to play around with it and you'll see the cut version. But yeah. So you might have already noticed that I started recording because I was like, oh, there we go again. It's some good stuff. Should have had that on the recording.
I'm open. I trust you. I am in your hands. Let's get it.
Aw, thank you. Well, actually, I think you are technically the first person that I have on my podcast. So how exciting is that?
Congratulations to us both.
Thank you. I feel like I need to have a since you're the first, I get, and you're like, I think on the list, you're like the person I've known the longest. I feel like maybe I need to go back to all the people I knew.
That might be an approach.
Right? It might be. Yeah. So let me give you a formal introduction, Dr. Curtis D. Jasper, my eighth grade teacher. You got a whole lot of things going on, but we're going to read your bio. Curtis D. Jasper is a transpersonal and integrative counselor, coach, author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, spiritual advisor, mentor, and human consciousness researcher. He is also a loving husband and father. Dr. Curtis is the executive director of the I Am Project and the I Am International Incorporated, a Georgia nonprofit organization which focuses on self-empowerment and emotional intelligence through mentoring, coaching, and teaching classes for young men. He is the author of I Am the Solution, 8 Transformational Approaches to Turning Obstacles into Opportunities, and the 40-Day Journey, a Journal to Self-Actualization, Transformation, and Release Workbook. Dr. Kurt sits on the Department of Juvenile Justice Governance Committee and the Department of Juvenile Justice Office of Reentry Services Task Force. Dr. Kurt shares his thoughts and insights to his daily life on all social mediums. He currently lives, works, plays, and rests in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's a lot, huh?
It is. I need to have my canned applause right there.
And that's the short one. There is a long one, but that's the short one.
Well, welcome. I'm so happy to know you. Look, thank you. Thank you. So I know you as Mr. Jasper, and I still have problems calling anything other than
it's embedded. You go way back. I understand.
Yeah. I call you Dr. Coach, but yeah, you still Mr. Jasper.
I'm not hung up on titles. The people who need it, use it, you know? That's all.
Well, you know, it makes me feel better. I feel like I'm grown. I shouldn't have to call you Mr. Jasper, but I want to call you Kurt. So it's still like that line there, respect.
I understand. I appreciate it. Whatever makes you feel comfortable. You're an adult.
I know. I have to remember that sometimes.
Yeah.
So I feel
closer to your age now. I felt older when you guys were in my classroom. Then I was like, I wasn't that much older even back then.
No, you weren't. I was like, that was 20 years ago. Can you believe it?
It was.
Like literally, like exactly 20 years ago now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great. I love it. Yeah.
So I'm excited. The reason I wanted you to come onto the podcast, I'm super duper excited about it. Like I mentioned, you know, before, I know a bunch of like awesome people and you're definitely one of them. And it's so funny because of course you were my eighth grade teacher, but I remember reaching back out to you about back in 2006 or seven when I was living in Pennsylvania. And, the reason I reached out to you, I had just gotten fired from my job.
Congratulations.
I had just gotten fired from my job at the time. And I was going back through a bunch of documents that I had. And one of them was a binder that I created in my leadership certificate in undergrad. Okay. And one of the activities was to identify the people who are sitting on your personal board of directors. So it was a table and it had 12 seats. And who are the people who have made a difference in your life? And I was thinking about, you know, all the people who I thought were just like awesome. And so I thought about you and I said, I wonder where he's at. So, you know, Google is a spy's best friend.
It is. Good or bad. Good
and
or bad.
I remember Googling you and found out that you were I think doing real estate.
Yeah.
At the time. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of stayed in touch ever since then. And you've been a mentor, just an awesome resource all around.
Thank you.
You introduced me to my PhD program.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to give you the opportunity and the stage and whatever I can to promote you and, you know, get people to know who you are. Cause I think that you are someone that people need to know. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. So for the people who don't know, can we know a little bit about you? I mean, of course, you're a coach and all of these other awesome titles, but how did you come to be all of this?
You know, that's a great question. Actually, I always have been. I mean, obviously, my experiences have helped me define it, but I've always been what I consider to be a share of information, a giver of support, and an encourager. And mm-hmm. I did it as a child. I did it as a teenager, even when I was going through my crazy stage. I obviously did it as a classroom teacher when we met more than 20 years ago. I did it in all of my relationships. I know that I showed up to be that. And so as I matriculated through other career choices, I just decided, hey, let me formalize it where I could take it to the marketplace where people can receive it. But to be straight, Letitia, I wake up looking to serve people more in a non-traditional format. Mm-hmm. Meet them where they are with the intent of reminding them of their geniusness. And so the coaching, the teaching, the doctorate, the mentoring, the executive, all of the titles are simply just for the marketplace. I'd like to offer myself myself, just being totally transparent. I like to offer my research. I enjoy learning. I share what I learn after it touches, moves, and inspires me. And I'm at a point now in my life where it has to be non-traditional. I have to kind of make it up as I go along. Mm-hmm. Coaching allows me to do that.
So talk to me a little bit about what you mean by non-traditional.
No parameters. It's kind of, it's like any other relationship I value. We make it up based on agreements. For example, you and I, we text, we talk, we inbox, we make it up. It feels good because we co-create it as we go along. Anything short of that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. No positional power, no must-dos, no bargaining, no passive-aggressive approach, no strung-out. Nothing works for me besides co-creation in a spirit of love. I don't need it any other way. I'm not going to accept it at this point in my life.
So, okay, so that's some interesting, that's an interesting way to approach relating. So yes. How did you come to that?
Through a lot of pain and challenges and education. I learned maybe about 4 years ago to start being more in tune with how I feel.
Okay.
I started going off that approach. Yeah, my head is filled with tons of information. I'm an avid researcher, all of that good stuff, but nothing was reliable enough outside of my feelings. And I like to tell people, interpreting your feelings is what causes emotions. And so I had to, we'll feel happy and we'll label it happiness. We'll feel fear and we'll label it, you know, a number of things. So the feelings, they get labeled and we run them through. So I started using the approach of there's a tug of war going on in my mind between my left and right brain. So one wants to make sense. They want to use their own approaches, but they're both mostly fear-based. So I started saying, well, let me just check with the heart. Let me see what I feel. And let me see if I can short circuit and bypass some of the formal education conditioning that I received from teachers and parents and other communities. So now I just sit back and I go with how I feel. And it's reliable like no other. But the funny thing is, Natisha, children do that. We've done it as children. I mean, they don't hold grudges. They wake up and they create. They go how they feel. They're not happy. They let you know. Unless it's been conditioned out of. They're sad. They let you know. They're open, they're discovered. So I went back to that and it feels good and it actually works. So I just go how I feel mostly.
Okay, now that sounds like an amazing level of self-awareness, emotional intelligence, all those buzzwords.
Right.
So how does the average person get to that level? How does the average person go back to that?
That's a good question. I relate it to going to the gym and learning how to work out. It takes practice. It takes commitment. It takes becoming a habit. It takes a lifestyle transformation. It takes a lot of solitude. So this is not something that I theorized and said, yeah, I'm going to try it on. I actually spent a lot of time sitting, crying, out in nature, meditating, praying, journaling. I'm talking thousands of clock hours spending time alone, really, you know, trying to feel my way through it. The other thing I had to do is I had to cut out substances that was overstimulating me, you know, like certain foods and alcohol and even TV, because I wanted to really get more personal with who I am. So my easy answer is it just takes time. I mean, once you get to, there's no right way. I like to tell people you got to develop your own curriculum for living. Mm. For you, by you, FUBU, your own curriculum for living. And that takes some time, but it takes time being alone. Like, it's not going to come outside, from outside, in my estimation.
Mm, that's interesting. So that sounds good, right?
Right.
How has your life improved as a result of you going through all of that personal reflection and self-work?
That's good.
How's your life changed?
The biggest change is I no longer take things personal that I once did. It's not personal. The other thing is I'm now able to co-create my life with a greater force. And those things, you know, I got them years ago because I've been kind of on this, but it wasn't until I had to employ these strategies that I got it. Like, the greatest thing for me is really knowing, outside of anything, good, bad, titles, money, no money, outside of everything, I could actually wake up and be solidly confident and loving and being proud of who I am just as an individual.
Mm.
On all levels. It doesn't matter how I look. It doesn't matter what I got on. It doesn't matter bank balance. It doesn't matter who's rolling with me. The connection between Curtis and Curtis is what I got out of it. So that's the biggest change. So I no longer take things personal.
Hmm.
It's just me, you know, and I'm good with that. And I don't mean it from a selfish standpoint. I mean, I take total responsibility for who I am and what comes to me and from me.
Got it. So I'm gonna switch gears a little bit, right?
Sure.
So that's a whole, that's a very personal, deep, some deep stuff. I mean, it is.
My wife says that. My wife said, I talked to Angela and she's like, dude, that's too deep for me. Break it down. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, you live with me every day. You know what I'm talking about. She's like, I can't get it today.
And clearly, I'm not going to say no names, but clearly your friend, your Facebook friends, y'all on the same level.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been an entrepreneur for how long? Like a full-time entrepreneur?
I've been a full-time entrepreneur for 12 years, maybe. What's this? 16? Yeah, for about 12 years.
So what was the difference between where you were before as an entrepreneur, this health space of self-discovery, and where you are now?
Good. I'm no longer seeking to achieve anything outside of me at the expense of who I am. So in other words, I'm no longer looking to chase money that doesn't align with who I am as a person. It doesn't matter. It could be the biggest deal in the world. I think the greatest position for me now as an entrepreneur is I'm more trusting in my capabilities within more so than without. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So I spend a lot of time doing real estate deals. I still do it. I love the art of the deal. I love the negotiating, just the language. I love talking. I love the contractual part. I love all the aspects of it. What I realized is that it actually started wearing me out emotionally afterwards. Like, I was in love with the adrenaline rush of closing the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the deal, I'm looking like, oh, did I forego a little bit of my integrity to make it happen? And so it was that struggle with, I'm not for certain this is all that it's cracked up to be.
Gotcha.
And so I was letting the outside determine how I felt. I used things like, obviously, numbers and money to determine if I did something well. And that wasn't where I was. Well, that's not where I am now.
So I'm a numbers person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always relate everything to me, right? Maybe I still need some self-awareness because I'm definitely taking this personal. But I'm curious, I also realize that I like competition. And keeping track of the numbers is a way for me to compete against myself. So how do you stay motivated or keep going if you no longer are focused on the numbers?
Well, I get that competition is a form of control. And so for me, the only competition that I like to play is how well I'm in alignment with who I say I am. And that's more of an introspective point. There's no numbers that could really suggest if I'm doing well or bad. There's no birthday number. I just made 45. It doesn't determine how I am physically, emotionally.
Happy belated. When was your birthday?
It was in March, so we're a couple months. So anything under 6 months for people my age, we just made it. Because the days go by quick at this time in your life. Trust me. So
wait, March when?
March 8th.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. 26. My bad.
So I respect numbers. I have a lot of people around me that are numbers people. The good thing is they get to bring their measurable things to me to talk out, because I see numbers in words. I'm not a numbers guy. So my number people say, all right, this is the numbers, and then we create a conversation around it. So I actually respect the number people.
And you make it work for you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of like, what's the worst can happen? I mean, if you can't feel good about who you are with 10,000 or zero, then there's some other things we need to talk about.
True. Well, I've had the zero. I'm ready for the 10,000. Thank you.
It won't be much different. Trust me.
I'm sure. So let's hear about your business. I mean, I read your bio, but kind of where are you? What are you doing now? I think we might have kind of talked about it a little bit, but.
Yeah. So the three major things that I still do some real estate consulting behind the scene. Just with old clients I've accumulated over the last 10 or 12 years. So I do no public, no marketing, nothing like that. It's just when they call me, I'll take it on. The other thing is the nonprofit and the mentoring. It is my obligation to reach young people. So, you know, sort of like we met, but, you know, in an informal setting. So I do a lot of mentoring, and I'm very happy about that. That just does it for me to give back in that capacity. Mm-hmm. Especially without all the parameters like standardized testing and all that other foolishness. I mean, it's just the relationship. And I know that the significance of the learning is a result of the significance of the relationship in and of itself. So that part does it for me.
Okay.
And I actually bumped it up to working with older young adults, because most of us can agree that our youth are growing up fast just with how things are. And so they're presented with a lot of stuff, but they don't have the maturation or emotional development to kind of make sense of it all. And so, you know, like there, I work with young gentlemen at 17, 18, 19, they got 2-3 children, you know, they got records. So I gotta, you know, but I've had a child young, so I can meet them where they are.
Right.
And let them know that there's some great things ahead. The other part is just coaching. I love the one-on-one coaching part. It's just what I've done. I've done it as an 8-year-old at summer camp. I do it now as a 45-year-old coach. It's just what I showed up to do. So those three things I really comprise most of my professional time.
Got you. So and your coaching outside of, I know you mentioned that you coach or you mentor older young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Men, at least that's what I.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Some women, but mostly men.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about kind of what your programs are and how we can get involved and get in touch?
Yes. Most of my referrals for the young adults and young men come through other nonprofit and through the Department of Juvenile Justice. So on my website, there's a referral sheet that's downloadable that anybody could take, fill out, and shoot it to me. And I also provide mentoring virtually, sort of like in the capacity that you and I are doing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in my backyard. We can make it work. What I share with adults is you have to be mindful of what it means to a young adult, no matter where they are, to have someone that they could call out to, even if it's once a month.
Yeah.
All of these children, all these young adults, they got phones on their, in their pockets. If they could text someone and say, hey, I'm having a rough day. Here's what's happening. And have another caring, respectable person on the other end saying, listening, first of all, and then saying, I believe in you, and giving them some strategies they worked on. So there's a downloadable form, and that's just to formalize it. Most people download it, print it off, scan it, email it back, and then we take it from there. It doesn't have to be in any formalized setting because I like to meet the young adults where they are. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of them are too far gone, so I can't reach everybody. There are some extenuating circumstances. I'm like, oh, they need more clinical, and I don't do the clinical part. But most of the feed comes through other nonprofit organizations and through the Department of Juvenile Justice. I work with young men who have been recently released from juvenile detention centers, and they have placed out, like, they're over 18, so they don't necessarily, they're not able to go home.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of things that come into that. So yeah, that's where most of it comes from.
Gotcha. I know you have a lot on your schedule, so I'm not going to keep you long, but I want to ask you just a couple of questions, a couple more questions. What are three things that a new coach or someone who's watching, who wants to get into the place where you are in terms of being able to mentor and create an income for themselves, what's three things that they can do right now to get to where you are today?
So let me make sure I'm following you. You're asking three things that I would prescribe for a new coach, in order to make it more formal in terms of an entrepreneurship, earning money, getting clients, or whatever.
And giving back.
Okay. Okay. Good. I think the very first thing that new coaches should do is get a coach. Period. And I'm not talking about a coach with any type of formalized certificate. I'm talking about a coach that does it for you. Someone that you've hand chosen that really does it for you. They move you, they touch you, they inspire you, they hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. It's that receiving coaching that always keeps you in coaching mode. Mm. You know, it's the receiving coaching. So that would be the first thing. The second thing I would suggest is to consistently show your presence. Consistently show your presence to the world. Consistently show your presence. And that could be in a number of ways. One of the ways I do it is through social media. I post all day, every day on all forms. Now, part of it is marketing, but the bigger parts from a spiritual standpoint, Natisha, is I love to share information like you. I love teaching and sharing. I love reading and saying, I wonder if someone else could use this. Mm-hmm. I love that. But the consistency is what people respect. People don't know about buying Tide detergent with just one Tide commercial. You gotta be there every day. And sometimes people say, I give an example. I got a friend of mine who just did a great talk, recorded, huge. And the person was like, okay, so I'm going to send it to you and I want you to share it. I'm like, okay, so when you share it, then I'm going to share what you share.
Right.
And I got it. First of all, I challenged him to stand out and be transparent, but I was coaching him. But the other part is, he's like, okay, you do it for me. And so what I got from that is everybody's not comfortable showing themselves because there's a huge risk, but the courage must be. So you got to be courageous enough to be consistent, to put yourself out there every single day. As a coach, this is how I'm choosing to share with the world. Mm. So the first one is to get a coach. The second one is to consistently put yourself out there. Who are you? What do you do? What do you have? What are you experiencing? Why should we work with you? And people take notice, but the consistency. And the last thing is to do your own work. Mm. Do your work with your challenges in your life.
That's deep.
Yeah. I mean, like, everything affects everything. So you may be a coach in business, but if you don't have your health and wellness in order, then you got to do your work. You may be an entrepreneur coach, but you got to do your work. I mean, whatever coach you are, make sure that you're doing your work, not in your respective coaching domain, in the other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are in great shape and they're coaching on, you know, physical coach, fitness coaches, but the relationship is in shambles. Do your work so everything can impact everything else. And that's, quite frankly, just the definition of integrity. Just be whole.
Mm.
And if you're not whole, let your clients know, because they're going to go in those other areas. Don't think you're going to be coaching an entrepreneur and relationship don't come up. And you want to be authentic. Don't think you're going to be coaching on health and wellness and money's not going to come up. So you want to make sure that you are in integrity, that you are complete and whole.
Right.
Awesome. So that's what I got. Get a coach. Stay consistent with your presence. Do your work.
Well, thank you. And with that, of course, you are Dr. Curtis D. Jasper. And your website where people can reach you, drcurtisdjasper.com.
Yes.
And his email, if I'm not mistaken, is drcurtisdjasper@gmail.com.
Yep, that one goes to everywhere, so that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome.
Yep.
So definitely reach out to him. This dude is bad. He, you know, he's pretty awesome.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad I know him.
I appreciate the opportunity. This was great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.